Hey, and welcome to the Expansive Podcast. My name is Eric Kruger. This is the 3rd of May. We are now having gone from level 5 lockdown to level 4 lockdown, which means that I've been able to take Axel to the park, and he's been freaking out when he gets to the park. He's been loving it. And on the other side, I have my ever elegant and ever shirtless co-host, John Silent.
Yeah. Well, the video only shows you that I'm shirtless, Eric. You don't know if I'm naked or not, but hello, everybody. This is John here from Mahuba's Kloof up in the mountains. We are in a beautiful winter day here. So I am wearing pants, just having my shirt off here, sitting in the sun, speaking to Eric, shooting the breeze about our week. And we just decided to jump onto a podcast and talk about what we're learning and what we're doing and what we're sharing and what we're seeing on social media that's happening around us, because there seems to be a lot of emotions up in the air right now. Some people really are freaking out because of lockdown, and they went from loving the government to hating the government within 24 hours because some little rule didn't fit their little world. So yes, there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot moving, and we're happy for you to join us. So Eric?
Listen, let's jump in straight away. Like, what has your week been? But not from a work point of view, let's talk from an emotional point of view. Like, how's things been going for you? Because you're still on the farm.
Yeah.
Where's your mind at?
Yeah. Two things. One, the meme that really stood out for me the most was, I miss all my friends, but I don't want to talk to any of them. And so that's
you've been very quiet. I didn't want to bring it up, but you've been very quiet.
Yeah, I have been. I haven't reached out to anybody, and in fact, maybe even like trying to avoid everybody. For no particular reason. I don't know why. It's just like I guess you know what it is. You know, I've done a couple silent meditation retreats, and what happens the first few days is you crave interaction. And then by the time you get to your fourth or fifth day, you're so happy not to be interacting. It's the weirdest thing. You're like, you don't want to interact. And I think what happened initially, if you remember, there was a flurry of communication between everybody. I mean, you and I were talking twice a day.
Sure. Yes.
And then all of a sudden, so it's almost like as a collective, maybe not as a collective, maybe just me, but just I'm enjoying not engaging. And it's weird, because it's just part of my life is so much about engaging. And I think the second,
before you go into the next one, I also wonder if it isn't that for many of us, we've now started moving on to doing work again, you know, where initially there was this big shell shock, everything went into a freeze. And so we spent a lot of time creating content, talking about like different ideas. And now we both in a space again where we're doing quite a bit of work with clients again. We are, you know, so you're busy externally again with other things. Do you think that's part of it?
Yes, I think that's definitely part of it. I mean, look, I've had a very busy week work-wise. Yes, it's just the emotional side of it. It's weird because that side of it, I just want to be myself.
Still there.
I don't know.
It's still there, yeah. Okay. Got it.
Cool. And the second thing is, look, I've really rethought about my intimate life. I've had so much time to think about the fact that I actually would love to be in a relationship, which is, I've never really thought that. I've been so busy traveling the world and trying to do this and add that and put this. And I've just never had time to actually focus in on my intimate space and just really just actually thinking about the fact that it'd be nice to have a partner in life and actually do the next stage of my life with a partner. And that's kind of been weird because it's not something that I've really chased really in my life. You know what I mean? Mm. And for the very first time, like I'm turning 45 next week or next month. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's time, you know, maybe it's time to take the next step. So that's kind of what's going on for me. What's going on for you emotionally?
How do you see that playing out with all the traveling? I mean, obviously not now, but you know, we're going to get back to a point where we traveling the world, speaking.
Yeah.
How do you see that sort of marrying the two?
Look, I think two things. One, I would like my partner to also be in a nomadic, energetic space. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So she doesn't have to be traveling with me, but to be okay with travel, as in that's the first bit, you know, and somebody who loves to travel. So, but I also think it's important to be okay with not having the traditional have to be with each other 24/7 type of environment as well, because that just doesn't suit me. So what I've done actually is I've now reached out to people in Switzerland, and I want to go live in Switzerland for 6 months in a log cabin somewhere there next summer. So between Dubai and Switzerland is to live that sort of life from that point of view, and to have my partner come with me. And if we've got dogs, which we'll definitely have many dogs that can come with us. You know what I mean? So there's nice to have a base, to have something to come home to. And I think that's the key for me, which I never had the time to even miss, because now I'm living with my parents and all of a sudden there's a home, there's cooking, there's discussions around a meal, which I just haven't had for the longest time. So it's just given me a lot of time to reflect on that. So, and look, you can kind of design your life any way you want. So that is my sort of mission right now. Not mission, just like fun project to design that aspect of my life. Yeah,
sure, dude. Yeah, that sounds amazing. And you know, it's been really interesting how this time has allowed us to kind of rethink who we want to be moving forward.
Yeah,
and create a lot of clarity around what do we want. And it's been a tough one for me, to be honest, because there's been moments where I've been super clear, but you know also how my head works. But like, there's been moments where I've been super clear on what I want, and then the next week I'm like, actually, that's not really what I want. This is what I want.
Yeah.
And it just keeps iterating like that. Whereas perhaps now, for the first time, it feels like there's almost a bit of a pause. Like there isn't the erratic jumping between things. It's just becoming clearer and clearer and clearer. And there's a bit of stripping away of some of the other things that might be part of the vision, but it feels like it's just becoming like this spearhead, and that feels really good. But it
doesn't. Isn't that indicative of what we were talking about as we started? This was the fact that, and I made this post yesterday on social media. I said, no matter how much we kidded ourselves, time, we were always slaves to time and a schedule and where we had to be. And all of a sudden there's no schedule. You don't have to be anywhere. And for weeks now. And so all of a sudden time starts morphing and you have a different relationship with time. And so in that space, we start getting this clarity. And you can't fast track clarity. And think about the last holiday you had. It was 2 weeks long. Or maybe 3 weeks long. And then you had to be back somewhere. There's no end here. Like, there's no end in sight. So the ability to find clarity, it's forced upon you. And that's what the genius of the space is, you know? It's forced upon you. Yeah. I'm glad Axel agrees with me.
Yeah, you know, I always talk it. normally when he goes to the park, he comes back and he's just like man down.
Yeah.
Over the past few weeks, you know, because he hasn't been running, his fitness levels have dropped significantly.
Okay.
But geez, like it just hasn't. Day one, day two, came back from the park, man down. Today, day three, like full power. Like he's fully recovered.
He's back up. I always laugh at dogs. They're the worst energy managers in the world.
Yeah.
They just don't have any energy management. You know, they rev themselves to 12,000 and then drop to sleep. You know, so. Anyway, what else has been going on for you emotionally before we get on to the sort of work stuff?
You know, so I mean, I've been trying to be more intentional with actually paying attention to emotion. I think that's a big thing that. So I've been doing this. You know, what I've noticed is I start my day off every day in the same way. I always wake up at around 5:30-ish. I'll grab a coffee. I'll get to my study. I'll do meditation for anything between 30 to 45 minutes, depending on how I feel for the day. Then I'll sort of plan for the day and then I'll get stuck in. And when I do that, when I go through that, my state's always really good. Like it's almost impossible for me to come out of a meditation and not be in a really good state of mind. So I can almost be guaranteed that for the morning, I'm in a good state. But what I've been more unconscious of is how am I feeling in the afternoon? And so I've been doing this small check-in every afternoon, just like how you're feeling. And I've been surprised that, you know, I kind of think of myself as someone who's quite self-aware, but I've been really surprised to note how often I've actually been irritated or frustrated or like almost a bit angry and like, or what's what I'm looking for? Like overwhelmed, you know, because like what next? And just by checking in with yourself and having that quick moment, it actually just realigns you again, and you can actually just breathe through it, you know.
Wow. Okay.
So I think that's been happening for me.
I think it's called being a grumpy old man, Eric. That's what happens, you know. I think that's what you call.
I'm turning 36 next week. So,
look, I love what you're saying, because I was on a run the other day, and I was thinking to myself, you know, from 5 to 11 a.m. in the morning, I am a professional elite athlete when it comes to my diet. At lunchtime, I become a athlete. And in the afternoon, I become an amateur runner. And in the evening, I have an eating disorder, which is the weirdest thing. It's like, what happened to that guy I woke up with? He was like so astute and so focused. And then by the time you get to like 9 o'clock and you're watching TikTok, and now all of a sudden the chocolate comes out and you're like, what happened to that super elite athlete? But I guess, you know, that's relatable to both our emotions, everything. I mean, like the way you eat is based on where your emotions are at, right? So I think ultimately what I've also started to realize is how much we want to control our addiction to certainty. And I think that's the frustrate. Yeah, we're addicted to certainty. It's like, you know, I was reading somewhere the other day. It said, predictions are fiction. Stop predicting, because we don't know. And the more you want it to be guaranteed, the more frustrated you're going to be. And it's almost as if you have to really practice release. And that was a word that came to me in the run the other day. It's like, just release any angst, release any expectation. And I think that's ultimately the teacher that we're having right now, is this release of knowing what's going to happen, when it's going to end, how we're going to do. Like, think about it, dude. It's like, what are we at? I don't know, May? And you would be thinking, okay, I have a holiday in June somewhere, or I'm going for a weekend away here with my girl. I'm like, there's no plans. Like, you have zero plans for the next while. Somebody said to me from Dubai, when are you coming back? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know when the airports are going to open again. I don't know if I have to be in quarantine when I come back. I don't know. Like, I have no idea. And so every time I sit, I get up from the couch at my mom and dad's house, because I live in a cottage next door, or down the way from the main house, I always laugh with them and I say, so what are we doing tomorrow? Exactly the same as we did today. There's like no difference. Nobody, we might be going to Woolworths. Like, that'd be like a huge outing. But that becomes like the biggest thing we can do. So,
you know, it's pretty interesting. Is I've been having like quite a few conversations with individuals, like coaching conversations. Yeah. And almost everyone coming into this had their routine completely exploded. Which makes sense, you know?
Of course.
Like, apart from the coronavirus and like the frustration, anxiety and everything that comes with that, I think also the habits that we have at home are stronger than the habits that we have at work when you bring them into the home environment.
Explain that. Wow, that sounds interesting. Explain that.
So, you know that thing that says, you create your environment and your environment creates you.
Creates you. Yes. It's a symbiotic relationship. Yes.
So I think what we've done is at home, we have this environment that supports recreation and relaxation and all that. You bring your work habits home, and which wins? I think your home habits, because that's the environment that also reinforces it. So all of a sudden, everyone's routines have been exploded, and they go to bed later, they wake up later, they don't have the motivation that they often need. And there's two things that I've been thinking about in this regard. Number one, I think if you can be an elite athlete for 6 hours out of your day, or 5 hours out of your day, even if it's a small portion at the beginning of the day.
Is that good enough? Tell me it's good enough.
Way more effective. Yeah, I think yes.
Good.
You're going to be like, because we need to rethink high performance, because high performance doesn't mean that you are on elite
24/7
status.
Yes.
So even us thinking that that is how it's supposed to be is still old school. So we need to read.
Hold on, I'm just gonna get a chocolate quickly. Hold on a second. Just kidding.
Yeah. It's past 11. You're allowed to half.
Yeah, exactly. It's 12:30 right now, and we're recording this. I'm allowed. Yeah. I think other people have a relationship like this with alcohol. Mine's chocolate. Carry on.
The second thing is that I've been saying, don't worry about having a big routine, but focus on having a starter routine and a finisher routine. So, like, what do you do that starts your day off well? Worry about that only, and worry about what you can do perhaps that switches you between I've been at work to now I'm relaxing again.
I
think in between you can kind of just take it as it comes, but having those two keystones.
Anchor points. Yes. I like that. Yeah. So it almost like cocoons you. It cocoons you. Yeah. I love that. Also, it gives yourself freedom to be okay. Look how weird we were saying control. Like, you know, it's always about control. We like, we have to control ourselves, control the future, control. And I think what's this? I mean, we didn't even plan this, but I think the lesson out of Corona is Release, bro. I mean, enough. Stop trying to control every aspect of everything. It's like somebody put on Instagram the other day, it said, Corona wasn't on my vision board. Where did it come from? It's like, yes, it just wasn't there. I'm like, what? How did this arrive? So one of the work stories I wanted to share, which I actually haven't told you even offline, is I had a very big convention center call me. And I've got a good relationship with them. And they're one of the best convention centers in South Africa. And he said to me, look, we want you to jump online and maybe do something with us to talk about how the importance of conferencing. Because look, it's your staple, it's our staple, it's everybody's staple. So we want to get, and he named me a few other sort of well-known South Africans that he wanted to get on the sort of, I don't know, interview or video chat or whatever. So I said to him, I said, no. He's like, what do you mean no? I said, because your question's wrong. He's like, no, I sell space. I said, no, you don't. You sell conferencing. Whether you do it online or offline, your question has to broaden. Just because you're holding on to your old way business model, what you're going to do is collapse. So you should be educating your clients on the ability to have hybrid conferences. Like, think about the potential you're losing out on, because now all of a sudden, you know who's going to steal your lunch is not Zoom. Zoom is going to steal some of your lunch, but you know who else is going to steal your lunch is Fortnite. Fortnite has started now putting conferences together inside their virtual worlds where, like, come on, man. Like, you're going to get eaten alive. So I think if you're owner of a business or you have a job or you're doing something in the workplace, think about broadening your question to move away from your existing business model or the old one. Forget about existing, man. It's folded. It's like, what is the broader question? And so he sent me a PR statement that he'd made around they're now going digital, you know? And again, I said to him, I didn't think the PR thing was good because it was like, we are forced to go digital. No, you're not forced, bro. You were a thought leader. You were one step ahead of it. And now you want to educate your clients and what hybrid looks like. And you were telling me offline about your work, which I think you need to share some of it, is that we also need to educate people on what the potentiality of this new opportunities are. And in that place, you become a thought leader and a trusted advisor and a salesperson. So if you're struggling to sell your product, you're selling an old system. You're selling an old solution. What is the new version? And tell me about like your team stuff, because that's exactly what you're doing.
Dude, you know, what's been in the back of my mind the whole time is reimagine, don't recreate. And it's so difficult to do, because even for myself, like where, as soon as I start thinking about coaching or speaking, the tendency is let's just recreate it online. That's the tendency, you know?
Yeah.
And I think part of it, and this is really difficult, I think part of it is because we are still attached to that vision that we had of the future.
Yeah.
And we are still hoping that to some degree things normalize and that we can just go on the way things were before.
Yeah.
And we haven't detached.
No.
And that is, dude.
But you know, so when difficult. We do detach, two things will happen. One, the absolute death of your business. Mm. You're forced to detach, right? The second thing is the longer we stay in lockdown, the more you naturally detach, because that familiarity becomes less familiar. And so,
but it's, No, but and I agree with you fully that the longer we are in this space, the more you'll just have to come to the realization. And we, I think, you know, when in the early days, we were speaking a lot about the Kubler-Ross like grieving stages. And I think what we've seen is people just fluctuate back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you'd think that collectively we would kind of emerge at one point where it's like this beautiful, everyone is on the same level, but it's just not happening.
No.
Everyone is still fluctuating. And I think, you know, like you said, you either get kind of pulled into it or pushed into it. And the death of your business might be you getting pushed into it, and you realizing there's a bigger vision might be you getting pulled into it.
Well, look, I think, carry on.
Sorry, now I was going to say, even with hybrid vigor, you know, this has been a topic that's so near and dear to my heart. And I've even been thinking, I wonder to what extent hybrid vigor is my attachment to working with teams in real life versus me really saying, you know, I think this is the best for a team.
Yeah.
And where I'm at the moment, and those are difficult conversations, right? Because they had like the attachments that we have. At the moment, I think I actually want to push you to be a virtual team. If you can be a distributed team, that's what you need to do. There shouldn't be an in-between. The only reason for you to have an in-between team is if literally all 5 or 10 of your team members can meet at the office once a week and they're all in the same vicinity. But if that's the case, you're also not making the best use of a distributed team where you can hire from all over the world, get the best
talent from
anywhere.
That's the biggest thing is you're losing out on talent by not doing this.
But so I think a hybrid team like that, perfect for if you are going to commit to everyone getting to the office at some point. But there's no in between where you have some people who are virtually working in the other part of the country, but you have a remote, we were talking about remote hubs and we'll talk about that just now. But you have a hub somewhere because people feel left out, you know?
Yeah.
So you almost, it almost feels like you have to go fully into like virtual and reimagine and recreate.
Yeah.
Not recreate, reimagine. And then like, unless everyone is at the same place and they can be hybrid. Does that make sense? So like the
Absolutely.
Nuance of
But look, office. look. I think there's an appetite for all of it, Eric. Just depends who the client is, depends who you're talking to, at what point of it are they comfortable doing this. But I think it's much easier, obviously, to start from scratch designing a business like this. I think the legacy ideas around the old are very tough. And I think you are also showing your ability to move with the times when you've moved from teams in offices to hybrid teams to totally autonomous teams. So look, you are also going through that evolvement, but you're on the cutting edge of the evolvement because you're also having to help businesses go through that. So I don't think it's wrong of you. I think it's an evolvement of you. And like, you know, like if you read my first book and you read my last book, they're totally different books because it's just an evolvement of my understanding of the world around me. So I don't think there's anything wrong. I think what it is that how courageous are you and what appetite do you have to start designing for the future already? Or are you just a Muppet complaining about why the world isn't like it used to be? Which is my word of the week, by the way.
Muppet.
Muppets. Forget about my word of the year, fluid. It's now Muppets. I'm changing my word. It's Muppets.
Muppet at johnsonne.com.
Yeah, <you're> Muppet. Don't be a Muppet at johnsonne.com. Yeah.
Listen, before we start wrapping up, what has been your experience with virtual conferences? Because you've been both on the receiving side and also on the presenting side of it. Have you seen anything that's been really good? Something that sort of kept your interest? That's been a step up from a Zoom call?
Nothing has kept my interest 100%. And I just think that is not because the conferences are bad. I just think that's who we are as human beings. I don't think that is possible anymore. I mean, it's just, unless it's riveting and it's 100% got you in. And that's just content, bro. It's got nothing to do with anything else except does the content totally fresh, totally invigorating? And then still, if it is, I can only do it at 5 to 8 minutes at a time and I need to pause to ingest, digest, recalibrate, rethink, and then go back in. So I think, again, just to your point where people are taking these linear models and digitizing them, we are now starting to realize that if it's longer than a 10-minute conversation, I mean, a 10-minute monologue, people are just checking out. It's slides, schmides, fancy schmancy, VR. It doesn't matter. It's up. That's not the point. The point is our focus point has shifted. And I think you and I were speaking about it, you know, Zoom meetings, meetings aren't an hour, they're half an hour. Now they're going to be 15 minute meetings. It just shows us our focus point has changed. And so, no, look, the most interesting webinars I've been on are the ones where I'm speaking. And no, I'm kidding. So no, I'm kidding. I often tell organizers, I said, have you ever tried speaking to yourself in the mirror for 45 minutes? It's the worst thing ever. It's like, that's what happens in a webinar. You're talking to yourself for 45 minutes. You're like, Jesus, dude, why is my nose so skew? What's going on here? Like, yeah, it's hard. It's hard. It's so hard. So I think, look, I think it's evolving. I don't think anybody's cracked
you
it yet.
Watching you speak to yourself is,
people are watching you speak to yourself. I didn't even think of that. It's like, forget about you. Think you talking to yourself. People are watching you talk to yourself. That is hilarious. Yeah. What have you found? I know you've also been on a lot of them.
Yeah, dude. To be honest, same as you. And I think, you know, again, like we have to break the shackles of the expectations we had of things. And we have to just embrace it for what it is now. And embracing it for what it is now means that people are going to be listening to this podcast while doing something else. And that's totally cool. And that's fine.
Yeah.
And so why do I expect you, like, on a keynote to be doing this, like sitting in front of me, watching me like this for 30 minutes. Yeah. Like I was listening to a lady who runs webinars, as like a business. Like that's how she's made money since 2015. Yeah. And she was saying, my first assumption is that you are multitasking while you're listening to me.
Nice.
Perfect. Like let's start there. And that's great. Yeah. You don't need to have my full attention. You don't need to have me online for 8 hours a day to be productive.
Mm.
Like we can reimagine our relationship with time and with output and with the attention needed and all
attention. I think it's attention. Yeah. I think it's that reimagining attention. It's like, how do we want to actually take in information? And if you think about it, books went to Audible and then Audible went to podcasts and then podcasts became Blinkist and then I mean, look at it down to a Neuralink. And I just put my finger into a plug and upgrade myself to whatever it is, what I was going to listen to on a TED talk for 20 minutes, because even 20 minutes is long.
Mm.
So yeah, it's just, you know, it's our recalibration of time. Yeah. That's also what's happening here, you know?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. If you can embrace it and let go of how things were, it's amazing. And I hope that many people come with us on this journey, as we also figure it out. And
while we struggle with it. Because we are struggling with it. Yeah.
Good news is I saw the CEO of Barclays, I think, saying how like they pretty much never going back to shoving 7,000 people into a building. So, you know, once the big guys start moving on this.
I think American Express has done that.
Yeah.
Optus, Australia's biggest telco, has done that. 8,000 staff. So I think forget about rental. Forget about commute. Forget about just think about health. Let's just worry about health firstly. Like even that sort of like being in that space. Somebody was saying they went and opened up their restaurants at one table. Come in. And it's just because people are scared, you know?
Even if the coronavirus is sorted, to when do we psychologically start feeling it's okay again to be around other people, especially in groups, big groups?
Well, look, I mean, you engage, dude. I need to start dating again. So like, I don't know. I'm going to go on a date. It's like, forget about STDs. Like, forget about any of those things. Like, are you going to kill me with Corona? So there's a lot to be discovered.
Obviously, Fortnite, that's where you need to be spending all your time.
Like, I'm dating. Okay. Yeah, I'll be dating 12-year-old boys, bro. That's not my cup of tea. It's not my game.
Cool. We'll leave it on that note.
Yeah, let's leave it on that low point.